Hello and welcome back to another episode of Horribly Happy. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm your host, Sophie.
We're back at it for another week.
Hello.
Hey. You always pause like you don't know what to say.
I know. I don't know what to say because you have like the intro and I don't really have anything. So then I just say like, hey, or we're back or something. Super generic.
We back. We have a few items on our chit chat agenda that we can dive into. First and foremost, we have some updates about worldly news or current events that are in our realm.
And stories we've covered.
Yeah.
And stories we've covered.
Well, first is the Alec Murdoch. His trial has started and it is fascinating. I'm listening to a recap every week done by the same podcasters that I talked about last time. So it's called The Murdoch Murders with Mandy Matney. If you want to go search it, every week her and her team do a recap. They're there at the court house.
Oh.
Like, they can record and all that. So they play clips of like testimony and like all of that. And oh my God, it is crazy.
Okay, wait. I started listening to this podcast back when you first like told listeners about it and I was just like binging them and whatever. And then I kind of fell off of it. But if they're just doing weekly updates, that feels like something I can get back into. So I'm going to do that.
And I'm blanking on his name, but you know, Alec was involved not only in these murders, allegedly, but also in a lot of financial crimes, which are possibly the reason why these murders took place. The person at the bank that was involved in these financial crimes, his trial already happened. I totally forgot his name, but he was found guilty. So they also covered that beforehand. So if you want to zoom back and listen to some of that coverage, it's very interesting. And yes, it's I mean, it's just a terrible story.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a long trial, I believe. Like,
yeah.
It's projected to be a few, I think four weeks, but experts
there's so many layers.
Like 5 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely I recommend listening to the Mandy Matney podcast. There's other people that are covering the podcast and other major news networks. And according to Mandy and her team, allegedly, they don't think they're covering it quite as fairly or as accurately. So I recommend listening through her because they are doing all of the ground research, actually like talking to families and like they have sources and it's very legit. So it is crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm just so intrigued by it just because it's like, it's probably going to be one of the craziest like crime stories of our generation.
Yeah.
But anyways, I hopped in the car yesterday. Zach was going to drive somewhere and my podcast like went over the Bluetooth speaker and it was like literally Alec Murdoch during a police interview. Like they were playing a recording of him and it just started like blasting in my car. I'm like, I'm so sorry, this is my weekly podcast I'm checking up on.
He's probably like, dude,
like it sounded so scary.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's like I'm wrapped up in that. And then as I was scrolling TikTok waiting for Sofa Loaf to join the Zoom, I randomly found Jordan Turpin, who is one of the survivors of the House of Horrors, which is an episode that Sophie covered.
She's actually the one who escaped and like got in touch with police and like told them what was going on.
Yes. She has a TikTok account and she was posting on there. And she just, it seems like such a sweetie. And she was talking about this interview in Elle magazine that she was she's an aspiring influencer. Jordan is. So she's
like cute as a button.
She's adorable. There's a photo shoot of her that Elle did. And I'm reading the article right now. It's really well written and it's really interesting and cool to hear. And like, she's very positive online, although she's still dealing with her trauma behind the scenes. So yeah, it's pretty, pretty cool. I definitely recommend checking that out if you're interested. She doesn't like post about her past. She's more just like, you know, posting for fun. It's like,
yeah. Well, she's like living her life that she like never got to live.
No, exactly. So it's like very cool to see, and her photos are gorgeous on the L cover shoot. So, or L shoot. So yeah, definitely check that out, and very, very cool to see.
That actually makes me think of, I have seen some recent things about, what's her name? I think Ginger Duggar, you know, the Duggar family, the 20 mm-hmm. kids and counting. I know a couple of the daughters have kind of began to speak out about like growing up and their religious beliefs. And I think like have even kind of referred to it as a cult and are kind of stepping away from the intensity of the religion that they grew up in. And I think like Ginger just came out with a book, which I don't know if I'm going to read, but I will read it, but I was hoping that the Celebrity Memoir Book Club.
They're not doing it.
They aren't. No.
Oh, I thought that's why you're bringing it up. So Celebrity Memoir Book Club posted a TikTok. They're like, guys, we're sorry. We read the whole book cover to cover and we're not covering this. There's nothing here. Like if you wanted it to be like some tell all or like rebuke against her brother or the religion or the family, there's literally nothing here. And it's, she doesn't go into any of that.
Oh, okay. Well then so I'm not going to read it.
Maybe don't read it.
Well, anyway, yeah. Well, okay. Well, it just made me think of her, but I'm glad that she's living. It sounds like she's living her a happier life than what she was before. I know a couple of her sisters are obviously a different circumstances and scenario. It just made me think of her because mm-hmm. she just did like a spread with People magazine or something.
Oh, okay.
Dang, I wanted the dirty deeds.
Yes. Are you reading or watching anything else?
I was just telling you how I finished the second season and like final season of Big Little Lies, which I never read the book, and I watched the first season like 4 or 5 years ago and thought it was so good. And for some reason, I don't know why I never watched the second season, but, I just did. And the second season was good. It just like kind of felt like they were building up to something, and then like nothing really happens. And even though, and then they tied up like all the loose ends, which arguably I think is actually worse, because then it's just like so boring and lame, and it just felt like a little corny, which I didn't feel like that show was corny at all.
Right.
So yep. It was kind of like a very anticlimactic ending.
So I did read the book. I have not watched the shows, and I read the book a few years ago. So to my knowledge, I believe my mom told me this because she also read the book. The first season is everything in the book, like to a T. And then the first season ends where the book ends.
Oh, okay. So the second season is...
Season two is a flop.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it was good and it has like a really good cast, really good actors and actresses, but yeah, I was just like kind of disappointed, but that's okay.
You'll be disappointed also to hear that instead of pursuing season two of White Lotus, Zach and I started watching a different show last night. It's an HBO original called The Last of Us. Have you heard of it?
I have only seen very little talk about, what is it? This Is Us?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us. This Is Us is like, do you know what show This Is Us is? Okay. The Last of Us. Okay. But it's like zombie, but I've heard good things.
Yeah. So I asked Zach, I'm like, is this like The Walking Dead or like what? Because he really wanted me to watch it last night. There's only like 3 episodes out right now. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of like the same premise because it's zombie, but it's not the same. I'm like, okay, well.
There's only three episodes?
I think so. I think it's like coming out like week by week, like Game of Thrones. Oh, there's four episodes. But it's actually based on a video game that Zach loves. So that's why he wanted me to watch it. But I watched the first episode last night and I was like, okay, that kind of slayed. So I'm into it and I'll continue. Okay. I was like, I love a good week by week drop, like Euphoria, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. Like I'm all over that. It's like fun because then you go online afterwards, like on Twitter and on TikTok. Yeah. And you're like part of a public discourse. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm a part of something. So I do like it. And I do recommend if you're into that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I hope you watch the second season of White Lotus eventually, because I do think.
I do want to, because I've heard the second season is better than the first and I loved the first.
Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily, I think the plot and the storyline of the second season is better, but I think I really liked the cast in season one.
Well, Aubrey Plaza's in season two, so I'm like obsessed with her, so I'm sure I'll love it.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Yeah.
I do really like her.
Well, should we get into our big announcement, Sophie?
Yes, drum roll.
I don't have butterflies in my stomach. So Sophie and I have made the executive decision to take a sabbatical on the podcast. We are going to call what this previous 56 episodes were season one.
Yeah.
And we're taking a leave of absence. We're taking a hiatus, a sabbatical, if you will. And we don't know when we'll be back.
So don't hold us to anything.
We might be back in a month. We might be back in a year. We don't know. We just are deciding to take a hiatus.
Yeah.
And it's been so fun and we're not ready to say we're done quite yet, or ever, but we just need a little break.
Yeah. We need to regroup.
And that's just life, man. So we wanted to let y'all know.
Thank you to our sponsors who supported us throughout these episodes.
Thank you, Anchor.
We will be back if you want to work with us in the future. We are not cutting ties.
We love our fans. We love you so much. We just need a little break for ourselves and our careers in other directions.
And I can't say that we're busy, because apparently we're not busy, according to the Januska family.
My fam. So anyways, yeah, we just wanted to let y'all know that we still are providing two stories today. Maybe after a month we'll be like, oh my god, let's just do it again, but maybe not. And maybe we'll come back after 6 months, a year, who knows. Maybe we'll be back in your ear in the future. So with that, should we get into the stories?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You're gonna die.
Okay.
That's not an appropriate thing to say right now. You for sure heard this story.
Okay. I know.
It's been a story that stuck with me for years and I've always wanted to share it. So I am doing the survival story of Mary Vincent.
That doesn't ring a bell.
It will once I go into
this. Okay.
So our podcast, our shared podcast that we really like, called My Favorite Murder, has covered this in episode 18. And they do a
You went way back.
I know.
Wow, I love it.
They do a really great job in covering it. Karen covers it. And I highly recommend going and listening. It's also an I Survived episode.
Okay.
So if you want to reference that as well, you may do so. My source today is allthatsinteresting.com. So I do want to give a short or a quick trigger notice for sexual assault and just like very gruesome details. So heads up there. Trigger warning. Okay. Mary Vincent grew up in Las Vegas, but she ran away from home at the age of 15. She moved to California with her boyfriend, and the two lived out of a car for some time. However, her boyfriend was actually arrested for raping a different teenage girl, and Mary was soon on her own.
Okay, sorry. Pause. She was 15 when her and her boyfriend started.
Wait, sorry, say that again.
She was 15 when her and her boyfriend started.
Yeah, she was 15 when she ran away and they were living in the car.
Second question, what year is this? Did you say?
It was 1970.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Proceed.
Yes. So on September 29th of 1978, she made the decision to hitchhike 400 miles from Corona, California, where her grandfather lived. She made the decision to hitchhike from where she was alone to 400 miles to Corona, California, where her grandfather lived. So 50-year-old Lawrence Singleton pulled over and offered Mary a ride, and she accepted because he seemed like a friendly older man. Not long after climbing into Singleton's van, Mary realized she may have made a mistake. He asked her if she was sick after she sneezed and put his hand around her neck to check her temperature. She thought maybe he was simply being kind, and she soon fell asleep. However, when she woke up, she noticed they were traveling in the wrong direction on the road. She grew fairly uneasy, and she found a sharp stick in the vehicle and held it to him and ordered him to turn around.
Mm.
Singleton claimed he was just an honest man who made a mistake and started driving back in the right direction. However, he soon pulled over to take a bathroom break on the side of the road. When she got out of the car, when he was taking the bathroom break, she bent down to tie her shoe and he hit her over the head and knocked her out.
Okay. This is coming back to me. Yes.
So he brought her to the back of his van and raped her and told her that if she screamed that he would kill her.
Do you think she was like going to try to make a run for it when she got out of the car? She just like didn't really know what she was going to do. And then
I don't know, because, well, actually, like, I didn't watch the I Survived. So yeah, that would be, she recounts the I Survived, which is very okay. Cool. So like she tells her own story in the I Survived. And I don't know what her plan was, but I'm sure she says there.
Yeah.
But where they stopped the car was like in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mary begged to let her go when this was all happening. And he said, "You want to be free? I'll set you free." He grabbed a hatchet and cut off both of Mary's arms below her elbow and said, "Now you're free." Yeah, really disturbing.
So strange. Yeah.
Do you remember this now?
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, I'm not remembering the details, like him saying, "Now you're free." Like,
yeah, I know. So Singleton then pushed Mary down an embankment and left her to die in a concrete pipe. So you know how like the side of the road, it can be like a steep drop off.
Yeah.
Like almost like a cliff.
Yeah.
That's like what he pushed her down.
Okay.
And literally both of her arms, right at her elbows, were
gone.
So she was naked and falling in and out of consciousness. And she, I mean, you can only imagine what she's going through. She goes into detail about what this was like in the I Survived. Yeah. But she eventually made the decision to try to survive. And she crawled out of the canyon. So it was like a steep drop.
Mm-hmm.
She had no arms. She crawled out of the canyon and walked 3 miles back to the interstate.
Oh my gosh.
Like that's how far she was down.
Yeah.
She held what remained of her arms straight up so they wouldn't lose as much blood. So just like 3 miles straight up in the air. So she eventually did get to the road, and the first car that she saw drove past her because they were frightened.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that that's right, but I imagine that that was a very scary scene, and you're probably like, what did I just see?
Right. And you're wondering, like, if it's real. I don't know what time of day it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, how terrible would you feel if you found out later, like, you drove past that?
Yeah.
She was naked. She was covered in blood. She was covered in dirt. And she had no arms.
Yeah.
Like, that is, I'm sorry, nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
And, like.
Yeah. It's like a horror movie. It's, right, like, not even real.
So eventually another car drove by and they stopped to help her. And I believe, I didn't find this in my research, but I believe they were on their honeymoon, the second couple.
Oh, I feel like I remember that.
Yeah. And they stopped to help her and drove her to a nearby hospital. There was an intense surgery to save her life, and it did work. And she was fitted with prosthetic arms. And this obviously took years of physical therapy for her to adjust to. She also underwent intensive psychotherapy to help her cope with the trauma she experienced. And thankfully, she was able to provide a detailed description of Lawrence Singleton to the authorities, and he was quickly identified by the police sketch and was arrested.
Oh, wow.
Like a side note, like, that's crazy to have, like, that much of a memory to drop somebody. I don't want to get it again, but I don't, like, see pictures in my mind. I don't.
Yeah. You would be
a red apple.
Different outcome if that was you.
Right. Anyway.
But could you say, like if you close your eyes right now, could you give characteristics of me?
I mean, yes, just because I know
you. I think that's I think that's like how police sketches work, though. Like, you just describe someone. You probably couldn't go into as much detail because you can't picture it, but
yeah. But I think depending, I've seen you like literally a million times, I'd be like, cute as a button.
Oh, just, but some man you were with for like an hour or whatever.
Right. Okay. So ultimately, Mary testified against Lawrence in court, and it was very strong. It was a very emotional testimony. As she was leaving the testimony, after she got off the stand, Lawrence Singleton whispered to her, "I'll finish this job if it takes me the rest of my life."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Ultimately, who is this guy?
Yeah, some fucking creep.
Had he done this before? Like, had he killed before, to their knowledge, you know?
Not to their knowledge.
Keep cutting you off.
Okay. No, not to their knowledge. Ultimately, Singleton was found guilty of rape, kidnapping, and attempted murder. However, he served just over 8 years in prison and was released on parole for good behavior.
We don't need to get into it, but like, it does really blow my mind that attempted murder is so much lighter of a sentence than actual murder. It's like, oh, but you didn't actually do it, so
you tried to, but you didn't finish the job. Like, what?
Yeah.
So from that point on, Mary was obviously living in fear because of that.
Yes.
That Singleton gave her in court. And she was worried he would follow through on his promise. Yeah. So tragically, he actually did fall through somewhat on the promise, but not to Mary.
Oh.
So by the late 1990s, Singleton moved to Florida because he could not find a community in California willing to accept him. Everybody knew who he was and what he did. On February 19th.
Florida's probably the place to go for someone like that. Sorry, no offense. That was so offensive.
Jokes.
I'm just saying Florida has some weirdos. Not necessarily murderers or attempted murderers. I shouldn't have made that jump.
No, we get what you're saying.
Okay.
So on February 19th, 1997, he lured a sex worker named Roxanne Hayes into his home and violently murdered her. Neighbors heard her screams and called the police, but it was too late. The officers arrived to find her body on the floor, and she was deceased. Mary flew from California to Florida when she learned of his new arrest to testify on Roxanne's behalf.
Wow.
Yeah. In court, she detailed her own story again to highlight just how deprived of a man Lawrence Singleton was and why he should be sentenced to death. So she was fighting for him to get the death sentence.
Well, but even just to be like not living in society, like he should not have gotten out.
Yeah. So she went on to tell the jury about how she was raped, arms cut off, hatchet, left to die. Obviously that leaves a mark on the jury. Singleton was sentenced to death on April 14th, 1998, and he spent 3 years in prison waiting for his execution. However, he died from lung cancer, he died from cancer at the age of 74 while on death row. So Mary was finally able to live in peace.
Yeah.
In decades after that. In the years following after Mary's attack, she wasn't sure if she'd ever live a normal life. She struggled. She was married and then divorced, had two children, and then eventually founded the Mary Vincent Foundation to help other survivors of violent crimes. In 2003, she recounted in an interview how she actually had broken bones because of how bad her nightmares were. She would jump up and dislocate her shoulder just trying to get out of bed. She cracked ribs and smashed her nose because of how terrifying her nightmares were.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. However, eventually Mary discovered art, and she found it helped her cope with the trauma of what she'd been through. She at first could not afford to buy high-end prosthetic arms, so she actually created her own prosthetic arms using parts from refrigerators and stereo systems, and she taught herself how to draw and paint using her inventions.
Oh my gosh.
Like, actually incredible. Before the attack, Mary said she couldn't even draw a straight line, and even with a ruler, she would mess up that straight line. So after the attack, she really found that art gave her inspiration and also boosted her self-esteem. And she's like an incredible artist. Like, you wouldn't be able to look at that and be like, oh, like somebody without arms drew that. Like, she's just great at, she's very creative and she's great at it now. So very cool. We'll post some of her photos.
Yeah.
And her artwork as well.
Does she paint, Instagram. Did you say?
Believe it's charcoal drawings.
Oof.
Let's see.
The idea of the thought of charcoal on a piece of paper gives me the ultimate chills.
Right.
I can't stand the sound or the feeling. Okay, sorry. What did you did? Is it charcoal?
So she paints too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, super cool. Yeah, so that's the incredible survival story of Mary Vincent. It will stick with me forever.
I remember that story.
Yeah. And obviously she still has a lot of trauma, but she is living a somewhat normal life besides that, and channeling everything through her art. It's very cool.
Well, I'm very happy she survived. I forgot about that story, but remembered as you were telling it. And I do remember listening to that podcast, because I think the podcast is the first time I heard it when My Favorite Murder covered it. Oh, it's just so, so, so disturbing and just so... That's
terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, good story. I was happy to hear kind of like where she is today and
yeah.
all of that. So thanks for sharing that. Should we cleanse our palates?
Please.
This is like the definition of heartwarming. Okay. Story. I'm going to talk about slow checkout lanes. And I got my only source this week is scoop.upworthy.com. And yeah, let's get into it. So one of the main issues that older people face today and worldwide is a sense of loneliness. And this is especially true in urban areas where life is hectic and has become more digital.
I'm going to cry already.
However, a Dutch business decided to take matters into their own hands and attempt to offset this problem. Jumbo, a Dutch grocery chain with over 700 locations.
Oh, yeah. Created,
do you know this?
Yeah,
I
shopped there.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like you know this and you might be able to attest to this. I don't know. So they have over 700 locations. They created a Kletz Kassa, or in like English terms, a chat checkout for customers who are not in a rush and would want to converse with the cashier.
Okay. I always did self checkouts.
So okay.
I can't attest to it, but that's great.
These quote unquote slow lanes were first introduced by Jumbo in the summer of 2019 as part of the Dutch government's One Against Loneliness campaign. So there are roughly 1.3 million adults over the age of 75 in the Netherlands, and 33% of them say they feel at least moderately lonely. Aww. So the first slow lane opened in the North Brabant province town of Vilmen, and the feedback was so encouraging that the business decided to build 200 of these lanes across the nation.
Oh my gosh.
Jumbo stores also added a chat corner where locals might congregate for a cup of coffee and some small talk, and like people facilitating the chat corner will like connect people together who are looking to converse. It's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
You haven't watched Fleabag, have you?
No.
This is what Phoebe does, or Fleabag does in the show.
Oh, really?
No, she does. She owns a cafe and she has Chatty Tuesdays or something like that. So like people can come and like just like chat on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love that. Yeah. So anyway, the initiative is heavily supported by top execs at Jumbo, like Colette Klusterman Van Erd. She says, quote, "Many people, especially the elderly, sometimes feel lonely. As a family business and supermarket chain, we are at the heart of society." She went on to explain, "At Jumbo, we want to be more than just a place where you do your shopping." So as of December 2022, Jumbo has plans to open slow lanes and chat corners in over 200 of its locations.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I just Googled like Jumbo Dutch supermarket because I wanted to see what it looked like again, and it just like flooded back
memories.
Yeah, neon yellow. That's not where I shopped, but I did shop there a few times, but it wasn't like my grocery store. But that is
why not
cute. I think because like Jumbo kind of scared me, like I thought it was like Walmart and I wanted to go to like, a better place.
That's fair. It's like a supermarket. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really cute. And I'm sure they love it.
Yeah. It's great for people. Like it's great for people to avoid people like me who are just like usually just trying to get in and out of the grocery store as fast as possible. And I don't want to chit chat, but for some people, they just like really find joy in that. And yeah, it's just so cute. It's so cute, like how seriously they've taken it and like how big of an initiative it is.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like boosted PR and business as well, just like looking at it from that standpoint.
Yeah. I would think so.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Love. Aw. My heart's warm.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, girl.
Well, guys, girls, guys, gals, everyone in between or outside of that, we love you. We'll see you on the flip side. You know, you never know when we'll surprise you again showing up on your feed. So
this won't be the last you hear from us.
Definitely not. So with that, we love you. Have a great rest of your week and stay happy.
As happy as you can be.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.